Well, as I said earlier today, we're going to start a new series that I've called When Angels Speak, because when I was reading through the New Testament, I noticed that there, around the incarnation story, the story of Christ coming to earth, there are a number of angel episodes that happen. Angels were particularly active in preparation for Christ coming. So as we've got a few talks between now and the end of Christmas, I thought we'd take one angel episode at a time and see what God has to say to us via his angelic servants. But first, to start the series off, I want to give you a little background from Scripture about angels, their role, what they are, and so on and so forth. What are they? Well, angels are a whole other part of God's creation. God has created humankind, he's created the animal kingdom, all plant life, and so on. And so angels are just another part of his creation. He made them just like he made us. And like us, they have intelligence, they have emotions, they have a will, but they have it at a much higher level. They're a lot cleverer than us and a lot more able to do different things. They live in the heavenly realm, and because of that, they're normally invisible to us. We cannot see angels. Angels, Christians will one day live with the angels, and indeed, although angels are at present higher than us, when Christians get to heaven, they will rule over angels. So what do angels do? Well, throughout the Bible, we read of angels in action. Lots and lots of times. In the Old Testament and in the New, there are episodes of angels visiting the earth, sent here by God to do different things, to bring a judgment perhaps, to bring a message from God, to protect and to deliver God's people, and so on. The duty of angels, therefore, is to carry out God's commands. What he tells them to do, they do. And what we see them do, or read of them do, is helping God's people. Angels are sent to assist the people of God. Billy Graham wrote this. He says, "I am convinced that these heavenly beings exist and that they provide unseen aid on our behalf." A few scripture verses that show that. It says in Psalm 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." That's what angels do. Psalm 91:11, "The Lord will command his angels to take good care of you." And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 sums it up particularly well. It says, "All angels are spirits who serve. God sends them to serve those who will receive salvation." And those who receive salvation are Christians. And so their ministry is relevant to us here today. Angels matter to us. But it matters that we have a proper biblical understanding of who they are and what they do. Because some people believe all sorts of rubbish about angels. Here's a couple of things that people tend to believe about angels that are not actually in the Bible. Some people believe that everyone has a guardian angel. I watched a clip of a so-called angel expert on TV the other day, and this lady with complete certainty said she could see angels around every person. She could see what they do, what they were for. She could communicate with them. She described what they were like. But the trouble was, none of that was actually biblical. It was all in her own imagination. Also, not in the Bible, though lots of people think it is that each child has a guardian angel. We hear that very often. The Bible doesn't actually say that. What it does say is this. It says in Matthew 18, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Now, Jesus is speaking there, but he's not speaking to children or little ones. He was speaking of his followers, his disciples in the world. Some people believe that each Christian has a guardian angel. Now, there may be more truth in that, but it's probably truer to say, or more accurate to say, that angels are there in general for the church. John Calvin wrote, "The care of the whole church is committed to angels, to assist each member as his necessities shall require." And so angels enter our world in different ways, different forms. Sometimes they come as people. You wouldn't know there were any angels. They're just ordinary people. They appear as ordinary people. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us it's very possible even to encounter angels and not even know that there were angels. It's possible to entertain angels unawares. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." And then at other times, angels enter this world just as they are. And they are awesome creatures. When the prophet Daniel was visited by Gabriel, so overcome was Daniel by Gabriel's appearance that he actually lay sick for days. That's the effect an unveiled heaven has on people of the earth. And of course, they enter this world, as we've seen in the Bible passage that we read earlier, to visit people while people are sleeping. They speak God's message to them in dreams. You might ask, well, I wonder if I have ever had an angel visit me in a dream. Was my dream just a dream, or was it actually God speaking to me through an angel servant? Well, their appearance is rare. You can't discount it. I guess if you've ever had an angel speak to you in a dream, you'd probably know about it. This account, the account that we read, Joseph's experience was marked by God's presence in a very special way, and his message was very specific and very clear. That was the encounter that we find in the Gospel of Matthew. God's heavenly servant was sent in a dream to bring a message of assurance and instruction to a young man under a very great deal of pressure, because Mary, the girl he loves, the girl he was engaged to be married to, is pregnant and he is not the father. And you can imagine the turmoil that that has brought this young man into. And as much as he loves Mary and as much as he wants to spend the rest of his life with her, he cannot accept the explanation for the baby in her womb. So just imagine the conversation that Joseph had with Mary. Or Mary had with Joseph. "Joseph, I'm pregnant. An angel called Gabriel visited me and said I was chosen to bear the Savior. He told me that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And so Joseph, as you can imagine, found that very difficult to accept. And this particular angel episode reveals God's intervention into the crisis unfolding in Mary and Joseph's life. This once close couple are being pulled apart by the events of that first Christmas. Before the angel's visit, Joseph is in great angst of soul because inside he's been torn apart because he loves Mary. There's no doubt about that. But he just can't believe her. Cannot accept the explanation she's given. And all his carefully led plans for the future have been sorely disrupted. All their hopes and dreams of aspiration, spending their life together, called into question. This week, the news has been full of another young engaged couple. How much in love do Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are or appear to be, and how happy they looked in their TV interview, and how full of joy as they plan out a future role within the monarchy for both of them. Well, Joseph, since he heard the news, doesn't see much of a future with Mary. In fact, he's decided there really isn't going to be a future, Before he dropped off to sleep, he made up his mind. Mary and he were finished. He wouldn't embarrass her, but he could not continue with her. And that's when God sent his angel to speak into Joseph's life while he was asleep. And so when angels speak God's word, what happens? That's what this little Christmas series is about. And what can we in our walk with God learn from this particular message? Three short things I'm going to suggest. When angels speak God's word, hearts are assured. When angels speak, questions are answered. And when angels speak, minds are changed. Hearts, answers, guidance. And maybe this Christmas, you need to hear the message of Scripture through this angel, because you perhaps need assurance and you need answers and you need your mind changed about something. Let's take them one at a time. We'll not take long. Assurance. You know, I just love reading this message the way that Joseph was addressed. It was so personal. Joseph, he said, son of David. That was the opening words of the angel's message to Joseph. Joseph, son of David. God knew who this man was. He knew his father and his grandfather, and he knew his great-grandfather. Indeed, if we read the few verses before this chapter, if we read from the opening of the chapter, we see that God was able to trace Joseph's ancestry all the way back to Abraham. God knew him. And surely that provided great comfort and assurance that who he was and what he was going through was known by God. God knew him. Think about that for a moment. I thought about that as I meditated on these few verses this week. This young man, he was a tradesman, carpenter from a backwater town in Nazareth, somewhere north of Israel, Galilee. And he was just a young fella engaged to be married to a girl no older than any of our young people who meet on a Sunday night. She was just in her early teens, if that. Would you pick him out in a crowd? Probably not. And yet God could, because God knew him and addressed him by his first name. I suppose the closest example I can think of this is getting a birthday card from the Queen. Your name is typed out with a congratulations and a best wishes for the day, signed Elizabeth Orr. And that's lovely. And yet even that is a little impersonal, because for it to be sent in the first place, it has to be requested from the anniversaries office at Buckingham Palace. But this king knows each one of us personally. You're not an entry on a ledger. You're not a file stored on a database. You're a person known by the God of heaven. Everything about you, in exhaustive detail, the color of your eyes, the wrinkle of your nose, where you live, what you do, what you're good at, what you're rubbish at, he knows us the way a mother knows her child, the way a spouse knows her partner, but better and more. And so he can address us by our names. Kenneth, Seamus, Beth, Amanda. What does that tell us? It tells us that God is personal. He's not an impersonal being. When he speaks to people, he knows who he is speaking to. They are not a stranger to him. Now, that can be a comforting thing, and it can be a challenging thing. Do you remember Saul in the New Testament? He was running riot, making the lives of Christians unbearable, God stopped him in his tracks and said, "Saul, Saul." He addressed him by his first name. And in that moment, Saul knew that he was known and that he was known by one who knew what he was doing. Not for the right reasons. A little later in the same chapter, another man heard his name called out from heaven as well. "Ananias, I need you to do something for me." And again, in that moment, Ananias knew too that he was known by his first name for the right reasons. I guess, folks, realizing that God knows us by name should both challenge us if, like Saul, we're going the wrong way, and comfort us if, like Ananias, we're seeking to serve him. And not only does he know us by name, he knows what we're going through. That's why the angel was sent to Joseph. It was because of the turmoil going through his mind. "Don't be afraid, son of David. And so this Christmas, I want to say this in this opening sermon in this wee mini-series. God knows you. And he knows what's going on in your life, in your family life, at your work, in your retirement, what's going through your mind at the moment, what perhaps is going on within your body. And knowing that he knows provides some comfort. I have the wonderful privilege in my position as teaching elder here of listening to people. I really have. It's one of the honours of my job, is having the space to be able to listen to people, of being at times taken into confidence by them. They opening up and sharing with me what they're going through, or maybe their plans for the future, what they're thinking of doing. And as I listen, if I have any advice, I share it, but mostly it's listening, and then I will pray with them. And I suspect for them, when they know that someone else knows what's going on in their lives, or what their plans for the future are, or whatever, then though their circumstances most likely don't change, it helps a bit when we listen to another person. But even more than that, much more than that, when we're aware that the Almighty God of heaven and earth, the all-powerful King of heaven, the glorious and great God, knows what we are going through, then it helps us to go through it. Can I assure you today that the God who knows your name, who's numbered the very hairs of your head, knows what you're going through, knows your name, knows everything about you. When angels speak, hearts are assured. Also, from this passage we learn, when angels speak, questions are answered. Joseph had so many questions. I mean, wouldn't you have if you were in his position? The what to do question. What am I going to do? Well, his question was answered. Take Mary home as your wife. The what will happen question. She will give birth to a son. So it is true then. The what to do next. Give him the name Jesus. And perhaps the most pressing for Joseph in that scenario was the how question. How did this all happen? Conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then, going even deeper than that, the angel from God explained the why question. Why me? Why us? Because this Jesus will save his people from their sins. You've been chosen. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When angels speak, folks, when God's word is read, when we approach God in prayer, then questions that we have are answered. Questions that we might have had for some time. Wisdom is given, purpose is grasped. We learn what to do, and we learn when to do it. And that is why when we don't know what to do, we should just ask God, simply. James, in his little book, says that if anybody lacks wisdom, or in other words, if anybody doesn't know what to do, then he should ask God, who gives wisdom generously to everyone. When angels speak, as we see in this passage, assurance is given, questions are answered, and finally, a mind is changed. Joseph's mind had been made up. He was set on a course of action. And his mind was made up not easily, I imagine. There was a wrestling. The decision he'd taken was difficult and painful to put Mary away. But this angel episode tells us that God's word changed his mind. Verse 24 and 25 say this: when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Perhaps your mind is made up about a certain thing. I don't know if that's the case or not, but perhaps it may be. Perhaps it's because you see no way through what you're going through. There's just no other answer for you. Maybe it's something that you have been wrestling with for a number of weeks, maybe years. And you always come back to the same answer: Lord, I can't. God can change your mind about that if you will let him. Can you allow God to change your mind? Why don't you ask him? Why don't you spend some time asking God what he wants and for his help to do what he wants? As our Savior prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, let not what I want, but what you want be done. Holy Scripture, when we spend time in it, it changes our view, doesn't it? We see things differently. We have a different perspective. We see things from his perspective. Those words that Joseph heard that day changed the way he looked at the circumstances he was in. Recognizing God's word prompted him to obedience to God. And so no longer in fear, no longer in suspicion, no longer with a cloud hanging over his future, he now had a peace, an assurance. God is in this. I don't really understand it all, but then he didn't really need to understand it all. He just needed to do what God wanted him to do. Perhaps we could say this in Joseph's case, that when angels speak, his worst nightmare became a reason to serve God. He received strength to continue in what might have been the hardest of trials. He gained a confidence to face what he knew would be a difficult future. All of that enabled Joseph to change his mind about what he was going to do. He wasn't going to divorce Mary. he was going to take her home as his wife. Some of you think you couldn't live your life as a Christian, but you can with God's help. Some of us fear being a witness for Christ to our family, our neighbors, our friends. But we needn't, for God will be with us. If we will but obey, if we will put obedience before our fears. Folks, don't allow a made-up mind to harden a heart. When God speaks, be it here in the pulpit, at home with your Bible, or with your head on a pillow, heed it as God's word. It is the word of the sovereign Lord of the universe. We're to listen and obey. That's just what Joseph did out of this episode. When he awoke, he did exactly as he was commanded. And may we follow his example. In this first angel episode, we learn that when angels speak, hearts are assured, fears are calmed, questions are answered, and minds are changed. What a wonderful God we have. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. It doesn't come to us by accident, but it comes to us with intention. It's directed to us because you know us. You know each one of us. You're on first name terms with us. When we go home, you know where we live. You know everything about us. And the words that we hear, we're meant to hear, and we're meant to heed. We pray that as we do, we will go with an obedient heart, with a responsive heart. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.